Our scripture comes from Luke's gospel this morning, chapter 19, beginning at the first verse. Entering Jericho, Jesus made his way through the city. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus, and he was superintendent of taxes and very rich. He was eager to see what Jesus looked like, but being a little man, he could not see him for the crowd. So Zacchaeus ran on ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, for Jesus was to pass that way. And when Jesus did indeed come to that place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, be quick, come down, for I must stay at your house today." And Zacchaeus climbed down as quickly as he could and welcomed Jesus gladly. At this, there was a general murmur of disapproval. "He's gone in to be the guest of a sinner," they said. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Here and now, sir, I give half my possessions to charity. And if I have defrauded anyone, I will repay them four times over." And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house. For this one, too, remembers that he is a son of Abraham. And so the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what is lost." Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. I had a wonderful colleague when I was at Yale New Haven Hospital as a chaplain, and Halloween was his favorite holiday. And that wasn't obvious, actually, but it was. And I remember asking him one day at lunch, I was like, I understand you're really into Halloween. He said, oh, yes. And I said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Very simple. Halloween is the day when our masks come off." I've been thinking of that for like 10 years now. Halloween is the day when our masks come off. And yet it's true in a way. It's true. I remember in the years when I was teaching, you can imagine boarding school tries to do a lot with Halloween because it's a day when they can kind of keep you on campus and you're happy about it. They like holidays like that at boarding school. And I remember the costumes that the kids would do, and it was always surprising when those masks came off with those kids. There were all of these kids who were sort of the model student, and they would be dressed like Tony Soprano in particular. That was the Sopranos was big then. The kids you would hope would be like that, your kid would be like that one day, and they're like, "No, I'm going as a hitman." You're like, "Okay." And of course, then there was that kid, probably the biggest miscreant that we had that year, who went as an angel. And who went as an angel. And when I say that they went as an angel, it wasn't like he just wore white. No, he had constructed somehow secretly in the art room this enormous pair of papier-mâché wings that, you couldn't get through a door, which was probably part of the appeal for him. But like he was doubling, tripling down on the angel thing. That sense that you did not know what you thought you knew. You did not know the person nearly as well as you thought you did was so important to that holiday. And Halloween, I think, partakes of that so powerfully, that hunger to be known that we have, that comes from some place. And also that lingering sense that maybe we're not quite as well known as we wish that we were. Or tragically, that we know that people have us wrong. And Halloween somehow is this day when we engage all that. I think that's part of what's happening in our story this morning with Zacchaeus, this tax collector. The Zacchaeus story is kind of a wonderful story in its way. It gives us two details about Zacchaeus, as you've heard. It's Zacchaeus is fabulously wealthy. He has a deeply impossible, you know, sort of unpopular local job as a tax farmer, harvesting off of needy folks in order to help build things in Rome. That's what tax collectors were doing. That's one detail. The other, of course, is does anyone remember what's the other thing about Zacchaeus? He's short. Very good. Susan read this story really carefully this week. You could tell, right? He's short. And so that kind of puts him in scripture. He's only Yiddish can capture what he is. He's partly schmuck and he's partly schlemiel. That's Zacchaeus. He's both of those things simultaneously. And you can see, you can imagine how, as he is going about this unsavory job that he has chosen, we don't know how, we don't know what the circumstances of that were. But here he is in this role where all of his neighbors see him for what he is. And you can imagine how, given his unsavory job, that the neighbors would have a lot to say about how short he was. Anything to find their way to twist that knife just a little bit, to let him know how disrespected that he was in their eyes, even though in many ways, many probably feared him too. And that combination of his community fearing him and hating him, or hating what he represented, was this burden that was especially his to carry in a way that who he was inside was standing right in front of all his neighbors and yet was invisible somehow. That mask that he had put on, that mask they put on him, did not speak to who he was, not really. Not really. And the story is trying to engage that. Many years ago, Liz and I went to the house of a friend of hers, a childhood friend of hers. It was the occasion of the friend was having a child baptized. I was not working that day. I was just there as a guest. It was lovely. And it was at a beautiful, beautiful sort of New York apartment. It's like one of those things like in a Woody Allen movie kind of apartment. You're like, people actually have apartments like this? You know, anyway, it was one of those. It looked out on the Metropolitan Art Museum. It was this beautiful place. It was the grandfather's place. And in this place, they had an enormous wall. I mean, the wall was probably like that. And it was a wall that the granddad had devoted to his accomplishments, which were many. He's a kind of a financial big wheel, so lots of, you know, stories from the Wall Street Journal that had been sort of put in, you know, laminated somehow, you know, how they kind of do that, put that on the wall, and, you know, there had been like a fortune profile of him, so there he was. And yet it was interesting. His story was a complicated story. He's a person who had suffered a tremendous unexpected injury his freshman year at Princeton and had been in a wheelchair. And his path forward was a much more complicated path. His achievement all the more a reflection of incredible personal drive and all of the things that kind of come with not having it easy. And he had come up in a day when, you actually wore white shoes at a white shoe law firm in the day when he had come up. And yet, none of that was represented on that wall. To read that wall as a biography of that man was to imagine that just time after time, everything had just fallen into place perfectly. And perhaps in some ways it had, but the idea of what it took to get there, that was not the story that the wall was looking to tell. And it was hard not to feel in the presence of that wall that what you were seeing was not the unfolding of a remarkable life so much as a dedicated process of showing us the mask that he wore. And so it was not a testament to a person who wanted to be known, but a testament to a person who wanted to be known only for some of these things, only in particular ways. And that's why I give Zacchaeus so much credit, I think. Because it's not hard to imagine Zacchaeus' house having a wall just like that. It's not hard to imagine there he is, the big first trip to Rome. Here he is in Jerusalem at the temple being schmoozed by the Sadducees. Here he is cutting ribbons on things. And yet, maybe it wasn't like that. Maybe that's not what his wall looked like. Maybe that's what those people in town would have expected if he'd had an open house, sort of a house tour like they have sometimes in this neck of the woods, right? Let's go sort of see the lovely house. Well, let's look at Zacchaeus' wall. It's just going to be Forbes magazine and all that. Except maybe that's not what was there. Maybe there was more. Maybe there was something really different that complicated the story. And yet you got to wonder if that's what someone who was wandering through that living room would have noticed, or are the things that they would have picked out, the things that just confirmed that sense that this schmucky Schlemiel was exactly what they thought. And this is where the gospel comes in. Because he climbs that tree to see this person that he's heard of. He's heard of Jesus. He doesn't know Jesus. But he climbs that tree. And when Jesus happens by, the thing isn't that Zacchaeus is looking down. The thing is that Jesus is looking up. And the thing is that Jesus knows him, even if he does not necessarily know Jesus. And that's what's important, because it reminds us that in a world of masks, in a world of selective biographies, in a world where people look on one another and are so inclined to judge, God sees. God knows. And God sees something that maybe we at our worst don't make that much of an attempt to see. But what happens when he's seen? When he's finally seen, the masks come off. And he is transformed. And the promise for us is that as we climb that tree and look for Jesus in all the ways that we have the opportunity to do and the call to do and the longing to do. Jesus sees us. And the mask might fall off. and the transformation for which we've been longing will be ours at last. So Halloween is this day, this wonderful day, when suddenly we are reminded that we are, each one of us, far more complicated, far more wonderful, and far more hopeful than sometimes we allow ourselves to remember about other folks. But what a world it would be if we learned to see one another without those masks and to reach out and know that what matters of us, for us, is that we share the greatest identity of all, which is that we are children of God. Amen.